Storks affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. He is a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245
grams of magnesium, 3 grams of zinc. Hang on! Hang on, slow down!
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you, any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, oh, then right. you can always call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
So now we know. Equally, we know that as children go off to university, Freshers Week in most places this week, and then, of course, the University of Lincoln, home of Siren Radio, we've got the full teaching starting on Monday. Well, there might be a void. There might be a void that's been left when the children have left home and they're heading away. And what can you do to fill that void? Well, maybe, just maybe, bring in a four-legged, feathered, or furry friend. And who better to actually talk about this particular research for Vets for Pets than the Director of Clinical Services at the aforementioned Vets for Pets, the amazingly talented and indeed level 2 triathlon coach. That would be Dr. Hugh Stacey.
Good morning.
And we've also got another fine sir there who's Carleen, I believe. Is that right?
That's right.
Wonderful. Carly, just share with us your own experience. Were you surprised by this particular research that actually the children have gone, so let's bring in a pet?
If you think about it, it makes sense, but I think we were all quite surprised about the sort of just how many people seem to get a pet when their children leave for university. So over a quarter of parents admitted they actually got a pet when their children left home to go to university, which I thought was quite high.
Well, there you go. Now, in the studio, we've got ace crime writer extraordinaire who instantly suggested we should have Year of the Cat by Al Stewart. Sadly, we've not got that side of things to the horse, but a keen dog owner, I believe, Tibetan Spaniels. That's Jenny Finch.
Good morning. Yes, yes. Three Tibetan Spaniels and a Tibetan Terrier.
Yeah. I mean, obviously highly intelligent sort of routines. Were they sort of designed to sort of be, to replace any sort of void or whatever?
One was designed, the first Tibetan Spaniel was a companion for our little Tibetan Terrier who had a very bad start in life. The others were an accident, so now we have four of our allowed two dogs.
Hmm. Hugh, is this a story which you kind of hearing more and more that actually, you know, it's that unconditional love and, of course, Jenny, fulfilling the brief of British people choosing dogs as opposed to cats in terms of the popularity poll?
Yeah, well, The best numbers we have show that the dog and cat populations in the UK are pretty equal, actually, about 8 or 9 million of each. But I think people often tend to fall in the camp of being a dog person or a cat person. So my house is full of dogs, whereas Carleen's is very much a cat household. So we sort of have different allegiances there.
Hugh, I'm just fascinated by the fact that you're described as a landlocked surfer, which I think is extraordinary on our Twitter feed, which is great. I mean, just on that basis alone, I've started following you because I thought it's genius. You know, it's, we need more about that. I know.
Yeah.
But in terms of this this whole notion of unconditional love and affection that dogs actually provide for us from that point of view. It's a benefit. It's a psychological benefit. I mean, Jenny, I'm sure you'd sort of say that actually when you've had a hard day trying to graft some crime writing, put together and publish that, there's nothing better than settling down with your Tibetan Spaniels.
Absolutely. And they have in fact proved that if you sit and stroke a dog or a cat for a minute, it lowers your blood pressure quite significantly.
Hugh, petting zoos, various other things can we see as we head through the 21st century them becoming much more popular? And again, these are the benefits. I mean, clearly, pet ownership is a massive, massive responsibility. I mean, I just cope with my spider plants. That's just alone, and that's horticulture.
No, if you can keep those alive, then, yeah, you're doing better than I am. But, yeah, no, interacting with animals, interacting with pets is, you know, as you said there, you know, there's all sorts of evidence about the benefits in terms of exercise, mental well-being, sort of stress levels and everything that we know links into that. So owning pets is, you know, there are a multitude of benefits to that, but it's a commitment as well. It's a lifestyle, and not everyone has the, you know, potentially the time or the stability in their lives. So we're seeing, you know, that there's some modern solutions to that now. There are places where you can actually book in to spend time with dogs. There are commercial organizations that do that. If you're near a rescue center, then, you know, if you want to spend time with dogs, but you don't have, you know, you can't commit to owning them, then you can often sort of get involved with them in sort of working and caring for the animals there. And then there are some things like cat cafes, which, if they're run well, can be a great opportunity to spend time with animals when you wouldn't otherwise get the opportunity.
Yeah, so, I mean, the cat cafe, there's a series just waiting to be made about the cat cafe, so probably feline peckish would be probably one of the lines I'd show you. Carlene, changing the thing slightly, in terms of the research that also revealed that men are twice as likely as women to feel that owning a pet brings them and their partner closer together. Was that surprising?
Yeah, I guess just seeing the numbers is always a bit surprising. But again, when you think about it, children have left to go to university. Parents have more time. It's nice to have that shared interest and just going out together, walking the dog, or caring for a pet and having that shared interest. I think makes sense.
Of course, I mean, just turning to Jenny again, the whole notion of becoming physically healthier from exercise, walking the dogs, etc. I suppose walking the hamster, Hugh, is not going to be quite the same thing, is it, though, really?
No, not every pet probably brings the exercise benefits that a dog does. But, you know, with dogs, you know, there's not much else that's going to get you out walking in the rain and the wind twice a day. Apart, you know, if your dog's there giving you sad eyes at the door because they haven't been out and had their time, then, you know, it'll get you off the sofa. So, you know, there's not much else like a dog to get you out and about.
Does this resonate, Jenny?
Three walks a day for the last 34 years.
Lucky puppy.
Exactly.
In the snow.
Yeah, in Saltburn. Amazing. Still, there we are. Jenny, any questions you'd like to put to the team?
I'm interested in the idea that it's to fill the void from the children. I'm wondering if it's maybe because people have more time and feel they have more money, because owning a pet can be ruinously expensive depending on which pet it is, and perhaps its opportunity comes at the right time as well.
I think it's a combination of factors. I think it's people entering a new chapter in life. You know, possibly they've had the aspiration to get a pet before, and you know, with children, you can spend all your time and all your money shuttling them around and, you know, doing various things with them, and it can be very, very busy, and it's maybe people have just got a bit more room to maneuver, you know, just that they've got the space in their lives to provide the commitment they feel the pet needs. So they've been very responsible and felt, you know, when the time is right, then, this, you know, we'll take the opportunity. So I think it's a combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, knowing my house with two boys crashing around it the whole time, the day that they've both left home, it's going to be very quiet at home at night. So, you know, if you're used to having somebody to come home to and having a busy household, you know, you can really see how people will look to fill that.
If it's quiet, you don't get puppies.
That's it.
Unless they're musical puppies, because if he's a born-again musician, I'm sorry, you can see we've done our research on this one. I mean, the born-again musician.
My Twitter feed, yeah,
exactly,
you?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just amazing. Colleen, just from your own perspective, what's your own favourite pet? I mean, are you a cat? Are you a hamster?
I always thought I was a dog person. I always had a dog growing up. But actually, when I started working as a vet, I rescued a cat, and I have to say now I'm converted, and I'm very much a cat person. Mm. I think they're a misunderstood species, so I love cats.
Well given that we always cover the annual Hero Cat Awards on the whole station, then clearly there'll be lots of meows coming through on that basis, which is fine from that perspective. Where can people go to, Hugh, to find out further details about this fabulous research? Is it the Vets for Pets website?
That's it. So if people would like more information about this or sort of more ideas, if they're looking to get a pet, we've got some really good information there to help people think about that as a decision. They can go to vetsforpets.com.
Brilliant. And apropos of another station, which should remain nameless, was actually throwing in lines like Puppy Love. We mentioned Year of the Cat as well. Born to Run, I think, was actually suggested. I've decided to actually stand up for the budgerigar and go for the Beatles and Your Bird Can Sing, if that's okay.
Sounds good.
Hugh and Carleen, many thanks indeed. Take care. Hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
Take care.
You've got everything you want, and your bird can sing, but you don't get me. You don't get me. You say you've seen seven wonders, and your bird is green, but you can't see me.
to come on this awesome Friday morning. We have the September Book of the Month with Jenny Finch and Rob Nichols. And we've got another Fly Me to the Moon special. It's an extravaganza against Swansea City. All this and the Festival of Thrift on Siren Radio, Southside Broadcasting Channel 1 for Speedy if you're listening live. And, of course, podcast, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. A citizen of Saltburn. I believe you also were originally booked for the very first Festival of Thrift a wee while back.
I was indeed, and unfortunately I was too ill, I couldn't go.
Well, the Festival of Thrift continues to go from strength to strength. It's the UK's national celebration of sustainable living. It's taking place at Kirkleatham Museum Grounds in Redcar Saturday and Sunday this weekend, and there's a launch parade this very day, Friday the 21st of September, which is going to be frankly amazing. 45,000 people visited last year's event, and thousands again are expected this weekend. Who better to speak to when we're talking about the Festival of Thrift than the awesome director herself of the amazing organisation, the amazing Stella Hall. How are you, Stella?
No, that's a bit of a talk up.
Listen, Stella, at the end of the day, we were astounded that this jewel in the crown had not been addressed. And as Jenny was saying, it's something that's really great. It was one of our producers, Minty Steed, who's hopefully going to be attending this weekend together with Jackie, that sort of first alerted us to this. I just thought, this is amazing. I mean, it's what we need. You know? So share with us. And in the studio, we've got, say, ace writer Jenny Finch. We've also got, often referred to as Mr. Middlesbrough, Fly Me to the Moon writer, historian, all-round wonderful person, Rob Nichols. So share with us how you came up with this whole notion of the Festival of Thrift in the first place.
Well, we started off in Darlington, and of course, that's the home of the Quakers, famously thrifty folk. But we started off in buildings that had been upcycled, recycled from a former mill. And the idea, I mean, we were coming out of austerity, but the idea of make, do and mend and skill sharing and really looking after the planet was something that seemed to fit in that space. And it took off, and we'd had three lovely years in Darlington. But then we were invited to Redcar after the steelworks closed to bring some joy and sense of pride back into the place. And I think over the last 3 years we've managed to do a bit of that.
Most definitely. I mean, it's fair to say that allowing for the recent BBC series, which is focusing on the mighty Redcar, we need some positive PR for the whole region and various other aspects.
I think mighty Redcar is a positive thing. I mean, it does positively reflect, you know, the aspirations of our young people, some of whom have performed in the festival, I might say.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing which, again, really pleased me as somebody who's obviously based at the University of Lincoln, that you've got the University of Teesside there as well with an expo. And it's their first festival expo, effectively, with the university working with the Middlesbrough Institute of Modern Art.
Well, indeed. But they've been partners from the beginning, Teesside University, in different ways. They've worked with us on our fashion show. They've worked with us in a series of talks and workshops. But the idea of an expo that showcased all of the innovative things that they're doing at the museum, at the university, some in partnership with the museum, in fact, around steel and steel stories, but a lot of innovation going on in Teesside University that we don't necessarily know about. So we're going to find out a little bit more about things that they're doing that relate to sustainable living, sustainable research. And MIMA, the Middlesbrough Institute of Modern Art, is an absolute treasure trove of finding out about great things that are happening in the region and developing them, like the Linthorpe pottery and the Boothbeck industries. There's some extraordinary things that they've been doing, so we'll see more of that during the festival.
I know Minty instructed me to say she's really looking forward to possibly taking part in the basket weaving or the Swedish birch bark weaving.
Yeah,
she sees that as a challenge that she can take on behalf of the station. So, I mean, Jenny.
Well, I met the basket weaver Bror, who flew in from Sweden yesterday, and we've got a relationship with Västra Götaland region of Sweden. That's the sort of Gothenburg area. There's an agreement with the northeast of Västra Götaland, so these artists have been invited as part of that. So, birch bark weaving, very much a tradition in that area, and yes, I hope she learns some skills.
Well, I'm sure with Minty she'll take that challenge. Now, Rob, clearly from the perspective of the upcoming Discover Middlesbrough event, etc., this is just, I mean, were you aware of the Thrifty Festival?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been to it at Kirkleatham. It's incredible. So many people, and there's so much, so many talented people there, and so many great ideas. I love the setting in the stable box and around there at Kirkleatham, because it's a sort of jewel, isn't it, that people drive past and don't realise that all those cluster of historic buildings and everything. So it's fantastic to get people there in the first place. But there's just so many ideas. It's a brilliant festival.
Oh, thank you, Rob. That's great to hear. And it's great that people are travelling from Middlesbrough, but they're travelling from all over the country.
Yeah.
We've got folk coming down from from the Scilly Isles, well, up from the Scilly Isles, down from the Hebrides, across from the northwest. You know, it really is a national festival, but it's important to us that we work with local folk. And this year, for example, we worked with women from Middlesbrough and Redcar as part of the processions project, the National Celebration of Suffrage. So when we have our parade tonight, they'll be parading their Women of Steel banner that they made and paraded in Edinburgh as part of that. So there's a strong local pride as well as a sense of a national event.
Indeed, the launch parade for the Festival of Thrift takes place 6:30 p.m. this evening. Cotham Road from Community Heart, turning left onto Station Road, this is Redcar, and then left onto the seafront and ending at the bandstand. So, tragically I can't actually get there myself, but it's great. Jenny, would you be able to attend over the weekend?
I would like to. I really would like to. I love Kirkleatham. I know the place well because I worked at the museum at one point. And it's such a terrific setting and it's such a wonderful idea.
Well, we've taken over not just the museum and the pavilion and the grounds there, but another couple of acres of the village and the almshouses, the schools involved, the churches involved, the what used to be called the show fields where British Steel held their galas. That's part of the festival as well. And
that's
we've extended into camping and picnic cinema this evening, Saturday evening. So it's got bigger and bigger each year.
And has rightly been rewarded because it's picked up Best Event Teesside in 2015 and 2017. Received a gold as the Northeast Tourism Event of the Year and the Observer Ethical Awards for Arts and Culture. Again, I've got to hold my hand up and say thanks to Minty for actually reminding me of this because I was completely... And here we are in a studio at James Cook University Hospital, so doing this stuff for Southside Broadcast. I feel the guilt, Stella, you know, the guilt that I actually have here is just amazing.
No, we welcome first-timers and we welcome old-timers. You make some new friends the first time you come and then you'll come again.
Festivalofthrift.co.uk, of course, is the go-to website. Rob, have you got any other questions or things you'd like to raise or flag up? Because clearly we'll be hoping that Borough get 3 points against Swansea at the same time as the festival's on for day one, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there for day two. I'll be at the Borough match tomorrow. But, it's fantastic. And I think all the great things that have happened around the Festival of Thrift this year with the reshooting of the scenes from Atonement and... a great idea, and I've got friends that have got stalls there over the weekend, and they're all really enjoying it, looking forward to it.
Of course, in Middlesbrough, you've still got the wonderful artwork by Ian Kirkpatrick that formed part of our Viewpoints project.
Oh, yes.
That was all over the Tees Valley.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I saw that in Bedford Street when the Orange Pit Market. That was absolutely fantastic. It's really stunning.
That's part of the Thrift programme as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, warning signs. We're at a crossroads. If we carry on the way we're going with all these plastic bags and all of this consumerism, says Ian Kirkpatrick, look out.
And Jenny, any final thoughts for yourself?
I'm really disappointed that I couldn't manage the first one. I was going to be part of a living library. People would come along and borrow me for 15 minutes.
The People's
Library. And I would really like to be invited again sometime because I would love to do that.
Let's bring back the People's Library. That was a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're already talking about the Festival of Thrift 2019 from this perspective.
Yes.
2018 is still, and I know you'll be planning for that in any way, shape or form. We've stated the address and so on. It's an unmissable event, certainly, including the parade, as we've already talked about. And the theme, of course, which I thought is wonderful, is Be Thrifty, Be Happy. It's wonderful. Yes. It's brilliant stuff.
But for 2019, we are planning ahead. And we're looking at sustainable industry and clean air, and we're celebrating the anniversary of the moon landing.
No, right.
Well, that's really interesting.
A-high.
Yeah, because I think that works on a number of routines, because not only did
Indeed.
Armstrong set foot 50 years ago, 50 years ago next year, but also we're doing a little piece for Apollo 12, which is often forgotten, because it landed in the same year, of course. We had Apollo 12 in the November period,
right.
And I think it was November the 14th or thereabouts, and the Apollo 11 earlier in the year. So it's aim high, clearly now added to by the Festival of Thrift, and I can see all manner of wonderful things coming together there. Stella, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with your good self. I'm glad we managed to connect finally because we were thinking, oh, it's going to be an answer phone interview, which is a little bit one-sided, as I'm sure you appreciate. thanks also to Ace publicist Rachel Smith for coordinating things as well. We've got two final questions for you. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on this, your debut for both Southside Broadcasting and indeed Siren Radio? Has it been okay for you, Stella?
It's been wonderful. Thank you. I'll be listening in.
Well, the podcast will be out and done and dusted, so will you be kind enough to return again and probably give us a review as to how the events went and become a regular correspondent about the fifth?
Oh, I would love though. To. I would absolutely love to. Thank you.
I think a round of applause for Festival Director Stella Hall. Yay!
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.